find the pleasure, and this is not there, but I just so love this one. What was that one? Yeah, that's 10. Find your capacity to really enjoy admiration, admiring people. That's a terrific antidote to envy. And envy is one of the, like a cancerous sore of the hyper-individualistic competitive society. And we've all, if you will excuse me, maybe I'm not talking about you personally, but we've all inherited a tendency to, most of us, let me say, many of us, to envy. It's envy, a scarcity model of reality. You know how it feels when somebody walks into the office and they say, guess what? You know that grant I was applying for? I just got it. And you just, oh, I'm so happy for you. There's just this, and we watch that and see how dumb it is. And find that, and the Buddhists have a particular name for that. It's called mudita. It's joy in the joy of others. It's like the flip side of compassion. If compassion is grief with the grief of others, mudita is joy in the joy of others. And it is so liberating. But that's not on this list. I'll just return to this. Number 11, you do not need to see the results of your work. Your actions have unanticipated and far-reaching effects that are not likely to be visible to you in your lifetime. You know, and I've come, if as we get used to that and accept that, that's a terrific freedom. It's like a poor man's enlightenment. You know how Gandhi would talk about the Bhagavad Gita and learning to be free from dependence on the outcome of actions as if it's a great struggle. It's really easy when you learn joy in the joy of others or power in the power of others. And relish that. So you can practice that. Noticing people and seeing, becoming a good merit detector. And seeing all the strength and beauty in somebody, and the patience in someone, and the canniness in somebody, and the stubborn perseverance in somebody. You can even do that in your own family. That is so, that's the best. And then lastly, to putting forth great effort, let there be serenity, and let there also be serenity in all you're doing, for you are held within the web of life, within flows of energy and intelligence far exceeding your own. And not only that, but nothing can ever separate you from the web of life. No cowardice, no stupidity, no failure on your part can ever sever you from the web of life, because that's what you are. That's what we are. You know, this list, I have it on my website. So I want to hear some voices. I'll give you some voices from the movement for deep ecology, which is a return in our time for a sense of the beauty and power and efficacy of opening to the natural world as to our larger mind-body. And so I was involved in this work for 7 or 8 years when I went to Australia and met in a workshop I did John C., the rainforest activist, and he loved it. He saw how important it was and how revolutionary it was for us to take our pain for the world seriously and let it guide us and bring us home, sort of like what Thich Nhat Hanh said. And so he took me afterwards with him to see a whole range of, not a range, but a forest system of old growth trees from the era of the Gondwana land, these great eucalypts, kauri and jhana trees. And he walked me in there, and there were multi-storied trees, and the light bathing through, trickling through, and the falls splashing, and the birds sounding. And he told that this was due for clear cutting, and that he had taken part in a protest action to save the trees and hold off, because they were being illegally logged. And in the provincial capital of Sydney, there was a judicial process going through to for an injunction against the illegal logging. So it was truly a holding action. And he explained to me, and this description of how he was standing there. They were just a bunch of Buddhist hippie farmers from a commune called Bodhi Farm. But they decided that they really had to get out there and save these great old trees. And so they were standing there with their backs to the trees while there were the logging trucks and the chainsaws and the grappling hooks and the police and the bad, because the police were supporting the timber companies, and the bullhorns and the paddy wagons were gunning their engines. And so it was just chaotic and noise and scary, and they'd reached some trees and you could hear them crashing, and I always go for sound effects. And he said, he was just standing there with his back to the trees when he received an epiphany, and it changed his life forever. He said, I suddenly realized, as I stood there, and they had no weapons, nothing, just their bodies, and that, he said, I suddenly realized who I am. And I wasn't John C. protecting the rainforest. I was the rainforest protecting myself through this species that I had nurtured into existence. You see the difference? See the difference that makes? Then it's not your power. It's that which moves through you. And you're just so glad that you can let that power move through you. It seems almost, because you know that power is bigger than any of us. And so maybe it means you're arrested. Maybe it means you have to stay in the cooler for a while, you know. But that released him, and in that moment, I got what deep ecology can mean for us, how it can set us free to act more audaciously, in service more freely. The same thing happened. You may remember Julia Butterfly Hill. She went up to save in the Headlands Forest to save one tree, Luna. She thought she'd go up for 2 weeks as a tree sitter to stop the illegal logging by Maxham. under the leadership of a corporate raider who had gotten in junk bonds that he traded for the papers for the forest, and then he was cutting them down as fast as he could. And she went up with Earth First for 2 weeks, and she ended up staying there for more than 2 years. She didn't come down, and she was up 150 feet through two winters and one of an El Nino storms that whipped the tree around. That was, and she got instruction. She was adopted by and instructed by the tree. The tree told her things that changed her life and helped her be there. And a bond developed, a bond that is not new to our species, a bond that your ancestors and mine way back knew when we really moved at home on this planet. And thanks to electronics and somebody getting a cell phone up to her and hooking it to the radio, she was able to share those deep ecological teachings on the radio to thousands of people. So I want to just read you, how am I doing on time? Are you okay?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. I'm okay too. I just have a glass of water.